that you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open.
Chapter 2. What kind of flowers do you think Mace would like? Fox asks distractedly, scrolling through the online listings of a florist he walks past frequently. The ladies who run it don't seem to have a problem with clones, and while Fox could technically nip over to one of the higher-end districts and pilfer a few landscaping beds, he'd rather have someone who knows what flowers are supposed to look like in a bouquet make an arrangement for him. Is red too bright? Thier, face down on his desk, makes a piteous noise. Fox, the Chancellor was murdered. Right. Happy colors should work then, Fox says, and narrows down the search. One arrangement in particular, with brilliant red and bold purple flowers, framed by green ferns, catches his eye, and he clicks on it immediately. When he looks up, Thier is staring at him in abject despair, and Fox raises a pointed brow at him in return. Thorn, Thier says mournfully. Did the medics say when Commander Fox would go back to normal? It's a mental breakdown, not a cold, Thorn says, leaning over Fox's shoulder. He takes one look at the flowers and winces. Fox, those are hideous. That combination's terrible. And besides, they're expensive and you don't have any money. As if I'd need money, Fox says disdainfully. A lack of credits has never stopped any clone ever. Or, at least, it's never stopped Fox. And if it stopped someone else, they're cowards. Besides, he stopped a robbery in the florist shop, which is why they like him. And if he spins a dramatic story of true love and cashes in a favor, he's absolutely sure they'll make him whatever bouquet he wants. Fox, Thier says again, still despairing. The Chancellor just got murdered on our watch. On your watch, technically, Fox reminds him. I'm on leave. He frowns down at the bouquet and... It's not that bad. It's red and purple. Fox likes the symmetry of it. Maybe I can ask them for more green? More green isn't going to save that, Thorn tells him. Because Thorn is fundamentally a fun-averse killjoy who takes great pleasure in ruining all of Fox's plans. It looks like the Galaxy's Opera House threw up on a traveling minstrel show. It's definitely not that bad. Fox saves the listing, since this seems like the kind of favor he needs to ask for in person, and reaches down into his desk drawer to pull out a piece of candy. I'm not taking aesthetic advice from someone who painted hearts on their rotary blaster. Leave my rotary blaster alone, Thorn says instantly. Senator Amidala said it was cute, okay? Because he's also a shameless thief, he leans over Fox's shoulder, grabbing hopefully for the candy, and Fox rolls his eyes and hands it over. Because he's a sucker, clearly. Watching them with sad eyes, Thier makes a sound that's probably meant to convey how he's starving to death right there at his desk. And Fox holds his gaze like a dare, pops the next piece right into his mouth. Thinks of Thier marching next to Vader, so close to getting his own neck broken and not even aware of it. And gives in with a sigh. The next piece pegs Thier in the forehead, and Fox grumpily sinks back into his chair, glaring. Thanks, Fox, Thier says with a grin, and tosses it into his mouth. At the same moment, Thorn makes a bewildered, enthusiastic sound and leans over Fox's head again. "Where did you get those?" he asks. "They're criffing amazing." Fox smirks, popping another in his mouth. They're sweet and a little tart, and probably taste like real fruit. Not that Fox has anything to compare them to. Palpatine only went for the best, after all. "Stole them from an asshole," he says, entirely unashamed, and chucks another at Thier. When a hand slides over his shoulder again, groping, he sighs and gives Thorn another as well. Then deliberately closes the bag and stows it in his locking desk drawer. They're meant to be savored, like revenge. "It wasn't the Chancellor, right?" Thorn jokes, crossing his arms on top of Fox's head and leaning hard on him. "Yes, Thorn," Fox says, perfectly bland. "I went up and murdered the Chancellor in broad daylight with Jedi in the building, and then I stole his candy." Thorn snickers, and even Thier huffs, amused. "What about those flowers?" Thorn asks, pointing at the next listing still glowing on Fox's pad. "Boring," Fox dismisses, because they're the color of a pastel sunset interspersed with delicate blue ferns. Pretty enough, but Fox wants something bold, a statement. But he pauses, looks back at Thorn, then saves that listing too. That bouquet is probably more Senator Amidala's type than Mace's. But Fox needs to kickstart Thorn and Stone's wooing process somehow. "I knew you'd see sense," Thorn says with relief. "How is trying to buy flowers for a High General Mace Windu sense?" Thier asks incredulously. "Stone said when Fox woke up from his fall, he was trying to take pot shots at senators," Thorn retorts. "If this is the alternative, I'll take it." Fox ignores them, mostly because he doesn't care. Taking a header down the Senate steps when he was slammed back into his past body, and then having a minor hysterical breakdown when he woke up, is a good enough excuse for changing things. But Fox still doesn't care. He's back in time. He's saving the Karkin galaxy and checking off an entire bucket list at the same time. There's no time to worry about what other people think. And besides, Fox isn't a coward. He knows what he wants, and he's going to go for it. Thier says, and Fox can feel both of them staring at him. "Commander?" "They weren't pot shots. I was trying to snipe, but my position was terrible." Fox rolls his chair back right over Thorn's toes, making him yowl in pain and offense, and pushes to his feet, taking his pad with him. The florist should be open for a few more hours, but if he's going to go in person, he should likely leave soon. Not that there's any work to waylay him. Being on medical leave is amazing! And Fox should have started shooting at senators years ago if this was the result. Well, the unhinged laughter probably helped, but Fox would rather not resort to that part again. Wolf can pull off unhinged with panache. Fox just looks deranged. Something about his caffeine intake, maybe? Or possibly Wolf's just had more practice. As Fox heads out the door, he's just in time to hear Thorn ask Thier, "Any leads yet?" And then Thier's resulting groan. "Not even one," he says, just as the door is sliding closed. Whoever killed the Chancellor knew what they were doing and wanted him extra dead. That particular deranged smile that makes guards go skittering away from him and normal people throw themselves out of his path probably won't get him reinstated anytime soon, Fox reflects. But nine hells did it feel good. The ladies at the florist practically shove the bouquet Fox is after into his arms as soon as he opens his mouth to ask for it. And as soon as they hear about Fox's plans for Stone, Thorn, and Amidala, they pull out a pad and start scheming in a way that makes even Fox impressed. Given the number of senatorial aides who pass through their shop, though, it's not exactly surprising that they're fully invested in the drama. And beyond that, there seems to be some deep appreciation for Amidala's fashion sense as well. Fox takes his spoils and leaves them to it, confident that the flowers will find their way to Amidala with Thorn and Stone's names attached. It's the best result he's ever gotten for calling in a favor, certainly. And Fox does his best not to look too smug as he secures his own flowers, then aims his speeder directly at the Jedi Temple. He isn't the only clone visiting, though. When he lands on one of the upper pads, Rex is already there, looking exhausted and harried and trailing after a familiar figure who makes Fox's smugness slide right into vicious rage. The man who killed him is whining as he paces. Something about Kenobi, Fox thinks. But he has never cared less about anything than he does about Anakin Skywalker's angst of the moment. "Sure the guard is doing everything they can, sir," Rex is saying awkwardly when Fox slides out of his speeder. As Skywalker turns to make his next circuit, Rex follows, his eyes lighting on Fox, and Fox can see relief bloom. "Commander Fox, are you here to debrief?" Skywalker turns like Nexu going for an injured prey animal, already bristling and gearing up to yell. "I'm on psych leave," Fox says before he can even get a word out, and hauls the massive bouquet off of the other seat, hoisting it up in one arm. It is, potentially, maybe too large. But the florists were willing, and Fox was definitely not about to stop them once they started adding things that matched his chosen color scheme. There's a long pause from two sides, vaguely horrified. And then Skywalker demands, "What is that?" Fox rolls his eyes. "Flowers," he says, and heads for the door into the temple. Two sets of footsteps follow him, but Fox isn't about to concern himself with idiots and doesn't bother looking back. "Are they condolence flowers?" Skywalker asks incredulously. "Who in the nine hells would I be bringing condolence flowers for?" Fox asks, annoyed. Mace's office is on this level, if the details he shook out of Pons are correct. And he checks the discreet numbers on one of the doors, then makes the turn down a wide hall full of light. "Maybe," Skywalker says, biting. "The Chancellor, you got killed!" "Ha," Fox says, and makes another turn. There's a body, a sound of surprise, a collision. Fox grabs Mace, an arm around his waist, and spins them to keep his footing as he almost overbalances. Mace's back hits the wall, and he catches Fox's shoulders before he can tumble forward. "Oh," Mace says, and blinks. Amusement flickers to life, and he raises a brow. "Commander, we seem to keep meeting like this." "Guess the Force has an agenda," Fox says, which is a lie, because he has an agenda, and even the Force isn't going to get in his way. He considers their position, how Mace is pressed up against the stone, with Fox a bare handspan away, their bodies fully pressed together and the spray of flowers shielding them, and smiles. It's so perfect he couldn't have planned it better if he tried. "I was just looking for you, Mace." That flicker of surprise returns, and Mace asks, "Is there something in particular I can help you with, Commander?" He is, Fox thinks, a beautiful man. Stern, but the only people who think that's all he is just aren't paying attention. Deftly, he tightens his grip on Mace's side, fingers splayed over his rib, and leans in just a little bit more. He's close enough to see the way Mace's surprise deepens faintly, slides towards confusion, and smiles. Nothing, he says, and Mace pauses. I just wanted to bring you some flowers, Mace. Mace blinks. Blinks again. His gaze flickers from Fox to the bouquet and then back. And the genuine surprise on his face makes Fox want to bring him flowers every day for the rest of their lives. Of course, the sound of Skywalker spluttering and choking behind him is an added bonus. For me? Mace asks after a second, and smiles just faintly. It still beats like a victory in Fox's chest.
Thank you, Commander. That's kind of you.
You deserve flowers, Fox says, a little rough in his throat, and pulls back, letting Mace find his feet again. You brought those for Master Windu? Skywalker demands. It's almost a shriek, and his voice cracks. They're hideous!
Don't be rude, Skywalker,
Mace reproves. And when Fox offers him the bouquet, he takes it carefully, inspecting the flowers thoughtfully, before he raises his gaze to Fox's.
They're beautiful, he says quietly. Thank you, Commander Fox.
Fox could press him back up against the wall and kiss him right now. He wants to press him up against the wall and kiss him, but because he has class, he offers Mace his hand. And when Mace slides his fingers into Fox's with a bemused expression, Fox lifts his hand, presses his kiss to those long, elegant fingers instead. The catch in Mace's breath is wholly gratifying. Master Windu! Skywalker sounds like he's having a conniption. But both Fox and Mace ignore him.
Just wanted to drop those off personally, Fox says and lets go. Anytime you're in the Senate, my office is open, Mace.
Mace slowly draws his hand back, still looking like he can't entirely believe this is happening, and says,
I'll be sure to stop by the next time I'm there, Commander. The tea and quiet yesterday was very much appreciated, even if other matters interfered.
If Fox had realized he'd be reordering his list of priorities, he'd have killed Palpatine a little earlier in the day, or maybe a little later. At the very least, though, it's not something Fox will have to worry about now. He's got all the time in the galaxy to sweep Mace off his feet, without having to factor in the fall of the Republic.
We'll have to try again, he says.
And he can't be sure, but he thinks Mace is remembering the almost kiss in the office, his gaze lingering on Fox's face.
Certainly,
he says, and curls his fingers. Fox hopes the feel of the kiss stays, keeps making itself obvious all day. He wants Mace to think about it. About him.
I look forward to it, Commander.
Fox smirks, pulls back instead of pressing his advantage. The idea of raiding the landscaping in the nicer districts for flowers is getting more appealing with every second. But Fox has other plans, too. Grand plans. Seductive plans.
Are you flirting?
Skywalker demands, horrified. Mace doesn't quite roll his eyes. Fox has so much less restraint that it can't be measured in whole numbers, though. And he turns, lets Skywalker see his deep derision. This is between adults. Go whine about your unfair master somewhere else. Skywalker's mouth drops open, and Fox saunters past him without looking back, thumping Rex on the shoulder as he does.
Luckvod, he says,
and Rex gives him a look like Fox just grew a third head. It's a lot more satisfying than it should be, as is the fact that when Fox reaches the corner, he can see in the polished mirror there how Mace brings the bouquet closer to his face, smiling slightly as he breathes in the scent of the flowers.
The next item on Fox's bucket list is Dooku, but he reorders things to move up his seduction plans just a little. Dooku's still a priority, but Fox has plenty of time for fun things in the midst of all the work, and he's going to take full advantage of it.